What happened to me is universal, and I can prove it. Think back on the people you knew in high school. Now zero in on that one person, the one who starred in your daydreams, the one who, when you glimpsed him or her down the corridor, set off that pre-Homo sapiens sensation, that brainstem jolt of pure adrenaline, the crush, in other words. See that person walk towards you now, approaching along the noisy, crowded hallway, toward you, and by you. The hair, the stride, the smile. Your pulse has just heightened a bit, right? That shows you the power. You're picturing a kid. This is years later, and you're picturing some gawky, school-bound kid. And yet the image of this kid in your mind's eye can still vibrate your cerebral cortex, disturb your breathing pattern. So you see, there's something involuntary at work in these situations. Now imagine this. You're a 32-year-old man, and you're a psychologist. You're sitting in your basement office in the counseling center of a New York State correctional institution. A women's prison. And you've come late to work on a Monday morning and haven't had time to review your case files or even glance at your schedule. In walks the first inmate of the day, dressed in a state-issued yellow uniform. And it's that person, looking shockingly unchanged from the kid approaching down the hallway lined with slamming locker doors, the hair, the stride. Would that not throw you for a bit of a loop? Be honest. There's no telling what you would do. I recognized her instantly. Who wouldn't? She's not the kind you forget all that easily. At least, not the kind I forget. Especially not the face. I might compare it to the variety of flowers my mother used to tend in beds alongside our house. Pretty, in an unsurprising backyard-grown way, but giving glimpses of inner complexities if you looked carefully enough. This face had lingered around the fringes of my memory for almost 15 years. Every so often, something, a tune of the correct vintage, the sight of a female runner with long reddish hair, would summon her to the forefront. If I were the kind of guy who attended reunions, I'm not, I would have sprung for a ticket and pinned on a name tag just to get news of her, to see if she turned up, to see what had become of her. Now I saw. She sat in the aqua vinyl chair across from me with NYS Docs stamped in blurry black ink across her heart. She didn't remember me. This was clear. I couldn't see a flicker or a flare of recall. So I didn't address it. What could I say? Crow out her name? How the hell are you? What brings you here? No. While trying to process this situation, her? Here? I propelled myself to the file cabinet in the corner where I kept the makings for tea. A small red hot pot, boxes of oolong and Earl Grey, cardboard cups, plastic spoons. My brief tea ritual injected a mild coziness that put my clients slightly more at ease, and so I performed it at almost every session. As I shakily prepared two cups, I spewed out my usual opener, which is, "Welcome. Thanks for coming. Let's establish some ground rules. What you reveal here doesn't leave this room." A speech that, after 6 months on the job, I could reel off without thinking. I offered her a steam-crowned drink, and she accepted, with a smile that stabbed me a bit. I returned to my seat, let my hands steady around the warm cup. A note, clipped to her file folder, stated that she'd just been released from segregation. So I asked her about this. But I didn't hear her answer. I couldn't help but sink back into that memory, a memory that had looped through my mind countless times over the years, like one of those sticky school-era radio hooks. Thinking about it, with her sitting there in the flesh, made me want to squirm, though I managed to uphold my professional demeanor and not squirm. I remembered her naked back, a sweep of whiteness like a flag. And then the flash of a breast as she twisted to grab a towel from the bench. Her hair, that red with brown undertones, swished down over this breast and matched the nipple perfectly. Jason DeMaria and Anthony Lee were snickering. But I was silent, clinging to the wall outside the girls' locker room, my fingertips aching against the concrete windowsill, toes of my sneakers jammed hard against the brick.